You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Hey, and welcome to the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Great to have you back. Now, although one of the most talked about topics among salon owners and hairstylists looking to build their business and clientele, the subject of today's podcast remains largely a mystery concerning how it works to turn your time and effort into a profitable business. Well, I'm talking about social media and your salon. And today I had the pleasure of speaking with Britt Seaver, a social media expert who specializes in helping hairstylists leverage the power of social to drive more people from scrolling to becoming your actual client. If you ever wondered how to get people from liking your photos on Facebook to becoming your client, or how to grow your local presence in a massive platform like Instagram, you're going to love Britt's insider tips. I cannot wait any longer to jump in. Let's go meet Britt. Britt, thank you so much for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. I'm super excited to have you.
Larissa, the pleasure is truly all mine. I think we've been waiting for this moment for so long. It's just so nice to get on here and chat with you and connect. I'm so looking forward to it.
Thank you. Exactly. So why don't we start with where you are in the world and tell us a little bit about who you are, what you're doing for the hair industry.
Absolutely. So I'm here in California. I've born and raised. I've been here my whole life. I myself am licensed in the state of California as a hairstylist, but my stint behind the chair was a shorter one. I only worked behind the chair for about 2 years before moving into a salon director position. I only ever worked in one salon and was there for about a decade. So I kind of grew in that space, and I grew a team there. I was so fortunate to be given the opportunity. So I spent a couple years behind the chair, and in those 2 years, I was promoted to the position of new employee trainer, and I was doing the marketing for the salon and doing all of the inventory ordering. And the salon owner approached me and said, "Listen, I know that you love the industry, there's no doubt, but it seems that your skill sets really have a natural fall in more of the marketing, the team development, the training. Would you consider stepping away from your clientele and just moving into this salon director role?" And it was a huge leap of faith, but it really felt in line with my true calling. And I made the leap, and it really served me well. So I spent about 7 years as a salon director of a seven-figure salon here in the Silicon Valley, kind of tech industry capital of the world here in California. And during that time, other salon owners here in the San Francisco Bay Area were reaching out to me saying, "Listen, we can see you're doing something differently. Your salon's a little more innovative than most. Can we consult with you? Can we pick your brain and learn more about what it is that you're doing and where you're getting these ideas from?" And the owner of my salon very graciously allowed me to do that. And from there, this amazing consulting business was born for me. So now I coach beauty professionals here in the U.S. and internationally. I have clients in the U.K. and in Australia. I have somebody in Japan that I'm coaching. So it's been a really wonderful journey to be able to uplift the industry and learn how other stylists and other teams do things differently. It's just been such a joy. I think we have the best industry on the entire planet, so I just feel so fortunate to be a part of it.
Look, I totally agree. Best industry for sure. So how amazing that your employer could see beyond the immediate need of you being a stylist and actually, you know, lead you into something that was your natural calling. I think that's really cool.
I am so glad that you mentioned that. And it's something that I feel so thankful for. I'm forever indebted to him for that. That was such a huge gift. And I try and carry that with me. And I remember even when I was managing my salon team, or even the team that I have with me now, I really do my very best to empower them to become the best versions of themselves. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage other leaders to do the same. If you see a bright spark in somebody, allow that to flourish and thrive and grow, because that person will be so forever indebted to you and dedicated to you and will show up for you as the best possible team member, employee, stylist, or whatever, if you really embrace everything amazing that they bring to the table.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I want to touch on that, because I think it's easy when somebody has that bright spark to want to either hold on to their income earning capacity right here, right now, or if it's something that you don't know how to manage or you aren't good at yourself, it can feel scary to let somebody take the reins or take the lead in something. So for, you know, it's a big leap of faith, as you say, to let your team do that, but it certainly pays off.
I so agree. And I've been in the position before where I've definitely had team members where it was clear they were smarter than me in certain areas.
Yeah.
And it is scary to embrace that or to release some of that control. And I'm sure you've experienced that too. But 9 times out of 10, it's ended up working out in my favor. Allowing that person to just shine through and bring their talents to the team has ended up being kind of a blessing for all of us at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So one of the things that you are a superstar at is talking about the social media space, something very close, near and dear to my heart. So let's talk a little bit about that, how that's affecting the industry, the changes that are happening. And I know you've got some really awesome tips to share with us today. So let's dive into that, shall we?
Oh my gosh, I would love to talk about that. And I think social media is one of those things that makes us excited, but also makes us completely uncomfortable, right? Yeah. Because it was such a game changer. It was in a lot of ways much easier to build a clientele when social media wasn't around, or it appeared to be. But yeah. Once you learn to harness the power of this incredible tool and gift, which it really is, you're able to reach and connect with people who otherwise wouldn't even know you existed before.
Sure.
So it can be overwhelming, especially when you're getting started. But once you learn to harness the power, oh my gosh, it's like putting clientele building on autopilot. So then the game becomes, you know, how do I lean into this tool and make it something that doesn't overwhelm me, but excites me? Because once you can get excited by it, oh my gosh, it's just an exponential clientele building explosion, which is what we all want, of course.
For sure. For sure. All right. Well, let's ditch the overwhelm and dive into some, what are your really the key things that we need to get over and get into?
Okay. My first tip would be to stop chasing likes and follows on social media. And Larissa, I know you and I had a brief chat about that, and you so completely agree. I think a lot of us look at people with 50,000 followers, 100,000 followers, 1 million followers and think, man, they must have it all. That must be what I need to build a clientele. I can speak from personal experience. I've coached stylists with 70,000 followers on Instagram, and I've coached stylists with 300 followers on Instagram. And there have been times when somebody with 300 followers makes more money than somebody with 70,000. Just because you have a lot of followers doesn't mean you have a huge clientele or a clientele that supports you. We don't know who those followers are. We don't know what that really looks like on the inside. And I always say the goal is not to accumulate 1 million followers. It's to accumulate a great handful who support you, where your message completely resonates with them, and getting those followers to jump off the screen and into your chair. And even if you only had 200 followers, if all 200 of those people were coming to see you as clients, oh my gosh, you'd have a booming business. It would be beautiful. So there's no need to chase, you know, that million follower mark. It's this futile kind of goal that I think a lot of us have.
I think it actually lets us off the hook, that we don't have to chase this big fat number. We can be a big fish in a really small pond and be super successful. It's a vanity metric, right? Really?
Completely. Totally and completely. And you've probably experienced it too. There are some people who look like a shining star on social media, but social media really only shows us a snapshot, just a glimpse. You know, everyone's only going to show us that little peek into their life, and we don't know what the reality is behind it. So we can never kind of judge a book by its cover on social media. It can be a little bit tricky.
I agree, for sure. Absolutely. Okay, so what about our audience? What about the people that we are trying to touch? Let's talk about that a little bit.
Oh, Larissa, such a great question. I'm glad that you asked. I think this can be something that's difficult for us too, because we come up against a roadblock when we're thinking, well, what content can I put out there that my audience even wants to see? What can I say that they even want to care about? And to be honest, the answer is going to shift and change a little bit for everybody, because the clients that I might be working with might be different than the clients somebody else, you know, 10 miles down the road would be looking to attract. So our messaging may be a little bit different, and that's okay. But I always encourage all stylists to really think about who they're trying to attract to their chair, not what some other social media celebrity is trying to do. Who is it that you want in your chair, and what might resonate really well with them? On a platform like Instagram, what seems to work the best is beautiful, polished pictures of finished work. And I think on Instagram, people say a lot, you know, my clientele is not all these 18, 19 year old, 20 girls. I do more mature women. So showcase that. I think that's so beautiful. Some of my favorite Instagram accounts doesn't showcase 20-year-old models. You know what I mean? So showcase what it really is like to come into your salon. And I think that on Facebook and on Instagram and on any other social media platform, your audience wants to see more of you. And I know that's so uncomfortable. I hate having pictures taken of myself. It's like my least favorite part of business. But our clients choose us because of the people we are. So when we show up on social media and we show a picture of us doing something awesome, you're always going to get more likes and more comments, because as much as your clients think that it's cool that you do great hair, they come to see you because you're you. So the more you can show up and be present on social media, the better. So I like the balance of showcasing beautiful finished work, thinking of your social media as your online portfolio, but including some of yourself in there as well. And then really keeping in mind who I'm trying to talk to and what that person would want to see. Don't have that misconception of everybody's got to be a supermodel, because for me, that's not the salon I want to go to. I'd be totally intimidated. So just be true to yourself, and that's where you'll find that social media success.
Okay. I just love this conversation, because really what you're saying is post for who you want to attract. Like, don't post the 20-year-old girl if you don't want the 20-year-old girl, you don't realistically have her in the door, because, you know, Miss 40 or 60 is not going to resonate with that. So I totally get that. And relevance is the word that comes to my mind. Be relevant to what she's interested in, not so much what you're interested in. Yeah.
I love that so much. And you know, me, I'm a mom with young kids. I don't want to go to the salon where the 25-year-olds hang out. I'm glad there's a space for that. I think it's great for them. It's not the place for me. So when I'm looking on social media, that's not at all what I'd be looking for in a salon. So you're right, that relevance piece and just trying to connect with your people.
So I also really like you said, you know, there's a balance between your online portfolio and you and the personality and the culture of the business and what is it really like to be inside, because I have this little pet hate I just have to share, a wall of backs of heads.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. That's my pet too. Yes.
I think, do you know who loves the wall of backs of heads? Stylists. We love it. We love to look at the hair and the technique and the way the hair falls, but actually clients don't think like that. They don't love that.
I know you can't see it, but I have my hands in the air right now because you are so speaking my language. I totally agree. And we have to remember who we're speaking with. If you want to entertain stylists, show pictures of the back of heads all day long. That's totally fine. But if you're trying to build a clientele, like you said, be relevant, show up, and you have to give the people what they want.
I remember this, you know, this word show up, right? I actually have it just reminded me, I have this little armband that I bought. You can get them on intent.org, I think. And it actually says show up, because I think in business now you need to show up, and that showing up might be different for everybody. But I remember I also hated having my photo taken. I didn't feel like I was photogenic when I was younger. I was quite unconfident. And when it came time for me to get married, I thought, I cannot have terrible photos. I need to learn to get comfortable in front of the camera. And so I really worked at it, because I thought, these photos are going to last me my life. I better look good. I can't be shying, hiding behind, you know, my husband. So I got used to and worked at it with intention to at least be confident in front of the camera. And now when I launched Salon Owners Collective, again, I needed to choose to show up and be confident in front of the camera, not my natural, didn't really want to. So I just want to encourage you that if this is something that you want to do and you want to show up and connect with your people, you know, all we need to do is decide to show up, be intentional about it and make a change. It's not easy, but it can be done. Would you agree?
I agree 110%. And I'm looking at a picture of you right now as we do this call, and you are gorgeous. Like, to me, you photograph so beautifully. And so I think we look at pictures of other women looking gorgeous and we think, well, I would never look like that. I couldn't pull that off. So I'm not even going to try. And the reality is probably 99% of us have that same insecurity of, I don't really want to do that. But once you do it, it becomes so much easier. And it really is. When we chose this industry, we chose to be, you know, kind of front and center. It is a part of the package now. And the more you do it, the easier it does become. And listen, we're all gorgeous. So why not go ahead and put it out there and feel confident about it? I totally agree.
I think when you own it, actually, that's when you look gorgeous.
Oh my gosh, that's it. That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
So one of the things I get asked a lot is, okay, Larissa, I know I need to show up. I know I'm not chasing likes, but I just don't know what to do. I don't know how to show up. I don't know what to post. You tell me I need to do lives, but what do I say? What do you say to that, Britt? How can we overcome this, the what?
I think that's such a great question. And I don't know about you, but that's something that I definitely struggled with too. And I think that a lot of my answers came when I started connecting a bit more with my followers. And anybody who has followed me on Instagram knows if you direct message me, I will direct message you back. And I don't have a social media intern doing it for me. It's me. And I do learn a lot by interacting with those who follow me. And I'm also somebody who sparks a lot of conversation. So those who do follow with me, I don't just post a photo, throw my hands in the air and say, okay, good, I did my job for the day. I spend another half hour supporting those who follow me, commenting on their photos, asking them questions. And I learn a lot about what they want, what they need from me. And we start to make these very real emotional connections because I don't just show up to post a photo. I truly use it as a social networking tool. And a lot of times somebody will direct message me on Instagram and say, hey, Britt, I loved it when you posted this photo. I thought it was great. And my response back will be, thank you so much. I so appreciate the love. Tell me, is there anything else that I can provide to you that's going to add value to your life? The people will tell me what they need. And that would work for a stylist or a salon owner as well. You could say, listen, I'm thinking about doing some tutorials. I'm thinking about showing up on Facebook Live, and I'd love to share some education with you that you'd find value in. Is there anything that I can show you that would help to make your day a little bit easier? And they will totally tell you, you know, I don't know how to curl my hair. I'm not sure how to style my bangs. I don't understand how to use all these, you know, how many styling products do we have under our bathroom sink right now, right? So sometimes simply asking what your audience wants to see more of, they will give you all the answers. And I can see on social media other people doing that too, posing a post that says, listen, guys, I'm looking to add more value for you. What would be really helpful? And you'll see those posts will get a dozen, 20 different responses of the audience telling you what they want to see more of. That can be really powerful.
Yeah, I love that. I just had this vision of, you know, asking clients to go into their bathroom and show underneath their half-empty bottles under the cupboard.
Oh my gosh, how much fun would that be?
Yeah.
Because we all have them, right? Every woman has that collection.
Yeah, for sure. So my question is, for those that are fearful of doing that the first time, and I know what the fear is. The fear is I'll go on live or I'll ask a question and nobody responds. How do we get from zero to hero? How do we get from nobody even sees my post at the moment because there's no engagement to actually starting to get somebody to respond?
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you asked this. So I'm going to go ahead and just put it all out there for you. Mm-hmm. So when I first went on live, when I did my first live video, it was on a platform called Periscope, it's not even really very popular anymore, but this is pre-Facebook Live. And I was terrified. The butterflies were there. I had spent an hour getting myself ready and then was probably sweating so much it all fell apart anyway. I was terrified. I showed up, I only talked for a couple of minutes and I probably talked a million miles an hour. And I remember at the end of the broadcast, somebody commented and said, is that really it? You don't have anything else to say? Forget it. And the moment my heart sank, and I will never forget that, because in a lot of ways it gave me the courage to be like, no, that person isn't going to tell me what I can or can't do. Mm. And it really lit my fire. But I like to share that story because when I first showed up, I was terrified and I did not know what I was doing. And there was a full and complete chance that nobody wanted to hear what I had to say. But the reality is so few people are willing to just take that leap and show up like you did, Larissa, like I did. And when you just show up and you speak your truth and you do your best to add tremendous value to people's lives, they will embrace you. And it doesn't happen often on the first video or on the first post, but consistency is key with it. And forgiving yourself and knowing that you'll never be perfect. So forget the quest in trying. The nice thing is for a lot of you, you have some kind of following, even if it's only 70 followers, those people who follow you love you. So even if you do a post and it turns out kind of goofy, or you go on live and you tumble over your words, which I still do all the time, those people love you and support you, and you will get more comfortable. So at some point you just have to pull the trigger and go for it, knowing that it's all going to be okay. The other thing, if you do choose to do like a Facebook Live, a lot of times you won't get a ton of people watching live. You'll have to wait and people will watch on the replay. So don't panic if no one shows up live. And I always tell people, if they get a chance, to go to my Instagram account, and it'll take you a couple minutes, but to scroll all the way back to the beginning of my feed. I've never deleted the start of my Instagram feed. It was ugly, like really ugly. I'm telling you, I did not know what I was doing, but I learned and I stayed consistent, and it served me really well. So just remember, we all start somewhere and nobody starts off at perfect. So staying consistent and having the faith that if you stay to your true north, you will get to where you want to be.
Yeah, I'm really pleased you said that, because it reminds me of the saying, don't compare your today to someone else's tomorrow or something.
Like,
you know, when someone's been doing it for 3 years already, and then we hop on and do our first live and we think that we need to be as good as them, we need to have as much engagement as them. So I want to encourage you, you know, if you get one person show up, celebrate that, because next time then you'll get three, and then the next time you'll get 10, and then you'll get 20, and then 50, and then 100. So yeah, I think the key is keep going. Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And at some point you will get into that rhythm and it will stick, and it just all does come together.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about different kinds of posts or lives and the actual, like, what can we come up with? Because I know that, you know, sometimes it is the block. God, what do I have to say? Do you have any examples of some of the stylists that you've worked with of the type, some actual posts, what kind of stuff works?
I want to share two Instagram handles that I think will be inspirational, and then I want to talk a little bit more, but just about posts overall. But if you guys want to see an example of a couple of stylists who I think do a very awesome job on social media, and I know for a fact that social media is building their business, you can check out at Caitlin Does Color, and that's Caitlin with a C, so C-A-I-T-L-I-N Does Color on Instagram, or at Hair by Kristen _. So it's at HAIRBYKRISTEN_. Both of those ladies are doing an amazing job, and both of them build their clientele strictly through social media. And what I like to see a lot of is, like I mentioned briefly, definitely after posts, but not backs of heads, exactly like Larissa said. I want to see a smiling face. I want to have a little personality. If you go in and you take a class, tell me about it. I want to know what's inspiring you. It's okay. I talk about doing posts. I call them personal with a professional twist. So on Instagram the other day, I posted a picture of me and my three-year-old son, which, if anybody follows me, I don't show a ton of my family, but it was very relevant because he and I had this very awkward, funny moment where he kind of crossed over into my professional world. And I shared the story of what that looked like. Oh my gosh, people loved that because, like I said before, people want to know more about me. They think my social media tips are cool, but they hang out with me because they like me. So the more I can show up and bridge that gap of, hey guys, come into my life a little bit, that has really served me well. And I always say personal with a professional twist because on my son's birthday, no matter how cute he was, I don't show a picture of that because it's not relevant to my business. Yeah. So unless your son was like coming to visit you in the salon or something like that, you could make that connection. But the posts I like to see are photos of finished work, pictures of yourself, personal with a professional twist, and really trying to infuse just some personality into your social media feeds. And that includes in your bio. I see a lot of people in their social media bios will say, you know, my name is Britt Siva. I specialize in blondes. I'm here in San Francisco, out California. Call for an appointment. that wouldn't attract me. Like, tell me that with your favorite kind of wine. I want to know that you love mint chip ice cream. I want to know that you have a pug puppy at home. Sometimes just including those little tiny peeks into our personal life make a big difference. When somebody's doing that social media scroll and they're looking at 100 different salons or stylists to find their next one, it's those little tiny differences that make the huge difference.
Yeah. Okay. That's really great. That's some really good takeaways to go and actually do something with a little personality, I think, is the bit that stood out for me, is just let yourself shine through. Because I think that's the block, right? It's the fearful block.
100%. I think it's so easy to see other salon accounts and stylist accounts and try and like fit the mold, like that cookie cutter, like, okay, yeah, pictures of pretty hair, I can do that. But those who really do well and really grow a clientele from their social media infuse themselves into it. Like you said, they bring the personality, and you'll find that is 100% what makes the difference.
It's scary though to, find your own personal confidence and put yourself out there. And it's a personal journey, I think, to be successful on social media, would you say?
I 100% agree. And like you talked about earlier, we can't compare ourselves today to what somebody else has built over a year's time, because I think I'm going to make this assumption, but that you and I both have struggled with confidence in business at one point or another. I think that's just very human, and we all do those things. But once you start putting yourself out there, I think that you'll find you get that praise and people do support you. And once you start to get that positive feedback, the confidence really does build. But until you make the leap and you kind of throw your hands in the air and you say, well, for better or for worse, I'm going to go all in on this thing and I'm going to keep working at it until I see the results I'm looking for, the confidence will come. Because if you stay the path and you don't give up on social media, it will work for you. That's, been the key to success for everybody who's come before you. So the confidence will come. Even if you don't feel it today, give it time, because it will come for you.
I think social media and marketing in general actually is, it's a try and see what works, throw it against the wall and see what sticks approach. Because I think, we can easily listen to all the experts and the tech experts, and they say must have 11 hashtags, must click here, must do right, all these things. And it not only is overwhelming, but actually this gives us the freedom to be ourselves, learn the expertise, but keep working on things until we find what works for us. Because if there was one way to do it, we'd all be doing it that way and we'd all have a million followers. But of course, that's not the reality. So I think, learn the rules, but then forget the rules and just do what works for you.
Oh my gosh, Larissa, if anybody remembers one thing from this podcast, that was the best advice. I could not agree with you more. I could not agree more. It's perfect.
Great. Well, look, you're a business owner yourself. And, business is exciting, rewarding, and challenging. What's a quote or a mantra that's kept you going or kept you sane over the years?
There's been a few quotes that I think have been powerful in my life over the last 3 years. This is the only one that I have hanging above my mirror. I look at it every day, and it says, "What got you here won't get you there." And to me, that's the reminder to always be looking to what's next, always be looking to what's leveling up, and to remember that all of the efforts that I've put in up until this point got me here today, but that if I want to go to the next level, something will have to change, because everything I've already done got me to here. So if I want to level up, something else has to go too. Another one that I love is, if you change nothing, nothing changes. So the definition of insanity is when we keep doing the same thing over and over and over, expecting to see a different result. If you're like banging your head against the wall saying, I just feel like I'm doing everything right, but my business isn't changing, I have to challenge you, because until you make some kind of shift or pivot, nothing is going to change, because everything you've done up until this point brought you here. So what can we shift, or what can we refine, or what can we try or do differently that may help us in the quest to level up? That's been very powerful for me.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. I really love that. Okay, what about a book or a webinar or a podcast or someone that we need to follow? Who do you suggest?
Oh my gosh, I love that you asked this. I don't know about you, but I geek out over reading business books. I love inspirational podcasts. I love all of that. A book that I read in the last, I think I read it in the last 3 months, sometime this year, was called Not Everybody Gets a Trophy. It's by Bruce Tulgan, T-U-L-G-A-N. And one of the things that I still struggle with now is there's a couple of ladies who work for me on my team who are part of that millennial generation. They're in their early 20s. And I remember when I first started working with millennials, it was like I had hired aliens. Like I didn't know what they wanted. They were from another planet. They were speaking a new language. I didn't know how to motivate them. I didn't understand why they wanted so much time off. I felt like they weren't taking things seriously. And then I read this book and it all became so clear. And I know a lot of times as salon owners, we're like, why don't these stylists want to work as hard as we did? And I felt that. I totally understand. And then you'll read this book and you'll realize it's not that they don't want to work as hard as we did. They just view the world very differently because of their life experiences. And the world that they grew up in was very different than ours was. And once you have their perspective, it makes it so much easier to lead them, to motivate them, and to help coach them to be really incredible stylists or team members. So Not Everybody Gets a Trophy is my must-have book of the year. I love that one. It had a huge impact on my life. And I think anybody who tries to work with millennials or coach or lead millennials has to read this one. It's huge.
All right. That's great. I think I need to put that one on my own list, actually.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. It's a must-have.
All right. Well, look, thank you. You've just had a ton of valuable, actionable and really relevant information for us today. It's got to be one of my favorite podcasts. So I really appreciate you spending some time with us today. I know everyone is going to want to stalk you. So you too have a podcast that you've launched recently. Please tell us, where can we find the podcast, your handles, all the things.
Oh my gosh, I would love that. Okay, so to check out my podcast, you can head to britseva.com. So it's BRITTSEVA.com/podcast. You can see all of the episodes there. If you look on Instagram, if you just search for Brit Seva, I'll come up. On Facebook, if you search for Brit Seva social media, I'll come right up. And then my website again is just www.britseva.com.
Tell us a little bit about the programs that you run. You have one specifically around websites. Tell us what can we expect?
Oh my goodness, I would love that. I do have three different programs available to help stylists and salon owners to level up and kind of in different areas of their business. So the first I have is called Website Academy, and it teaches stylists or salon owners to build their own websites or refine the websites they already have. This was based on the challenge I experienced in the salon. Two different times, I tried to hire web designers to help us build our salon websites. I paid an embarrassing amount of money. I can't even tell you how much. And I wasn't even happy with the result. And I wanted to have a resource where stylists and salon owners could build their own site or have a tech savvy friend or family do it for them with this awesome resource that shows exactly what stylists and salon owners need to put on their site. And it's insanely reasonable. There's no $1,000 price tag on it. It's very, very cost effective, which was really important to me too. I have another program called Facebook Mastery. It's for the stylist or salon owner who wants to go all in on Facebook, kind of put all of their social media on the back burner and let Facebook be the front runner. Allow that to help build your team, grow your clientele, connect with your current clients, attract new ones, play that Facebook game right. And then probably my most popular membership option is my Thriver Society. So we have several thousand members right now. It's something I'm so proud of. It's like my team. It's like my salon and stylist family. We have members, like I said, from all over the world. And it's essentially a business building program. So we talk about branding and target market, social media, in-salon experience, maximizing revenue. We bring in guest speakers and we have lots of other ways to connect and network with others in the industry to get a lot of really great and inspired conversations flowing to help each other to level up. So I have a lot of really awesome resources and just ways to grow your business all around as a stylist or an owner.
Fantastic. All right. Well, I know that you'll have some people stalking all of the things. So I really appreciate the time and the value that you've brought for us today. Thank you so much for joining us today, Britt.
Oh, Larissa, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So there you have it.
Now, thanks for joining me again today. This episode was brought to you by Salon Bot. You know that we're in an era of instant messaging, and if you want to be leading the way and really elevate your brand's experience, then Salon Bot not only saves you up to 70% of your time back and forth, but also helps you attract clients like a boss using modern messenger marketing. Now, check it out at www.salonownerscollective.com or come and join us at the Modern Messenger for Salon Owners private Facebook group. Thanks for joining me today, and I really look forward to seeing you again next week.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa, and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.